Mark chapter 4 will be our text. And it's absolutely just been a blessing and a privilege to be here. And I heard that I gave the cameraman, they said I wore out the joystick. So I'm going to try to slow down a little bit, maybe not quite move as much. But yeah, this microphone like scares me. It's like I'm waiting for it to attack me or something. So anyway, it feels a little better to move around a little bit. So I'll try to take it easy on the cameraman tonight. Mark chapter 4, might want to get there myself so I could read it. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, as we talk about weathering the storms of life. Weathering the storms of life. Mark chapter 4, we'll look at Mark's account here. Verse 35. It says, "In the same day when the eve was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for what's been a wonderful time in your house. Lord, it's been a blessing and a privilege to be here at Grace Bible Church, Lord, and my wife and I have felt so welcomed, and we just thank you for the wonderful, wonderful believers here in this ministry. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to have your hand upon us as we continue to spend time in your word tonight, and then, of course, some time fellowshipping later. Lord, I pray that we would come together with no other thought than to worship you. No other objective but to allow your word and your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that as we think about all the different storms that have happened in our life, maybe some storms that we're in now, or maybe some storms to come, that we would realize that Jesus Christ controls the storm. Jesus Christ is in the boat with us, and he's not going to leave us and forsake us. Help us to trust in that tonight. Help us to trust in the fact that you love us, and you are never going to leave us, and you are never going to forsake us. And while sometimes we have a hard time seeing in the storm, I pray that we would continue to keep our eyes and our focus on you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand with me tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that you'd speak through me tonight. That no words would be of myself, but only you speaking through me. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon our time today. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read you a beginning of a story here of a man named Steve. Let me tell you about a man named Steve. Steve was living what some people might call the American dream. He had a great wife and two wonderful children. He lived in a beautiful house on a quiet street and had a job that most people would love to have. However, upon coming into one work day, Steve found out that his job in management had been eliminated. And as the bills grew higher and higher, so did the tension between Steve and his family. The things that Steve and his family were going through could be summed up in four words. They are the storms of life. When I used to work at Choice Point Precision Marketing, when I was at Bible College, PCC, they had a sign on a big billboard there close to their entrance that said, "The only constant in life is change." And there was some truth in that, but I think if we think about it in more of a life sense, I would say the only thing that's constant is storms. Okay, well, we're going to find out. Let me start all over.
All right.
Now I can. We're switching back. Okay.
I prefer the lapel anyway.
Is that one the one?
We got a red light, and we're on. Here we go. All right. Hey, listen, you know what? I learned at Pensacola Christian College because I remember, listen, Pensacola, they try to make sure everything is absolutely perfect. And when things go wrong, I say, praise the Lord, because now, hey, we got to trust in God. Amen? You know? Hey, listen, it's not of ourselves. God's in control. And so he's going to want it to happen. If he's going to want you guys to hear me, he'll let you hear me. All right, I'm going to move a little closer because I heard that some others had a hard time hearing me this morning, so, which I'm so loud. I've had people tell me that I don't even need a microphone, I'm so loud. So, anyway, all right, back to storms. You know, and so how many times have you sat there and said, oh, it's so beautiful and the sun's out, I wish a storm would come. Well, the same thing holds true when you really think about, times in our life. If you ever said, everything's going great in my life right now, I really wish I'd get some trials and tribulations. I wish I'd get some persecution, some suffering. I wish I had some storms in my life. No, we don't like that. There's never a good time for a storm. And we've all gone through storms in our life when things just didn't make sense, or maybe the problem seemed so big and our faith seemed so small, or maybe we were just swamped, just totally overtaken by the trial or tribulation or the storm. Well, we can get comfort today. Isn't it great when you get comfort from somebody else's mistake and misery? We can get comfort from the disciples tonight that they weren't any different than us. No different than us. The storms came in the life of these disciples just as they come in ours. So let's paint the scene here. Beautiful day on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has been preaching. And he's preaching all day long, and he's preaching with such power and magnitude that more people come. And as people come, he gets to where he actually has to get on top of the ship to preach. And he continues to preach all day long, and then he starts to get tired. And then as they decide that they're going to cross over the Sea of Galilee, he says, I'm pretty tired. I've been preaching all day. I'm going to go in the end here, and I'm going to get some Z's. I'm going to sleep. Jesus is exhausted, so he is going to try to get some sleep. And if you look at the Sea of Galilee is not a very big body of water. Only 3.5 miles from at its widest point. Sea of Galilee is in a basin surrounded by mountains. And so the cold air from the mountains and the hot, moist air of the Sea of Galilee would mix, and sudden violent storms would occur on a regular basis. And so as we look at the disciples here, what we see is they are going through a physical storm that is reflecting where they are spiritually. Their physical storm, their physical trial is showing where they are in their spiritual lives. One moment everything's fine, it's a beautiful day. The next moment a terrible storm causing emotions of fear, frustration, uncertainty, doubt. And ultimately what it showed was a lack of faith in the Master. Ultimately, this physical storm that they were going through was showing a lack of faith they had in the Master. And I know more times than not, we can look at the disciples, and we've probably all done it. With Peter, you're probably, how could Peter deny Christ 3 times? You know, all the things that he witnessed and how much he loved him. And boy, how could he do that? You know, we kind of wave our finger. How could he deny Christ? You kind of almost get mad at him, don't you? Come on, be honest. I have too, you know. How could he deny Christ in his worst hour? How could he do that? Well, and I know we can, same thing here. How can they be so fearful? How can they lack so much faith when they were actually with Christ? But when you think about our lives, we're not much different, are we? When we go through storms and trials and tribulations in our lives, sometimes we get a little uncertain, don't we? Doubt a little bit. God's going to get us through the storm. So in a way, we can kind of relate. But when it comes to the Christian life, Jesus never said there wouldn't be storms. What he said was he would be with us in the storm. So as we look at weathering the storms in our lives, we're going to look at three truths. Three truths. First, storms will come. Remember the promises from the Lord. The storms will come. Remember the promises from the Lord. The disciples had forgotten the promises that were just taught by Jesus. Go back to verse 24 with me. Mark chapter 4, look at verses 24. And say, and we'll go 24 through, say, 34. So Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and to him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, the first blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in a sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, and with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. It becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. They forgot the promises that they were taught by Jesus. You know, everything was beautiful. Perfect day, Jesus is teaching. But yet the disciples were totally unaware of the storm that was about ready to come. And they didn't embrace the teaching of Jesus for when the storm comes. When you really think about a lot of the teaching Jesus did with the disciples, it was to prepare them for storms, wasn't it? It was to prepare them for trials and tribulations and suffering and persecution. A lot of the teachings he gave them were to prepare them for when the storm comes. But we know storms come, don't they? Storms will come. Sometimes heat waves, amen. Storms will come. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Storms will just come. So the question is this, what do we do when the storm does come? Well, the first thing we do is never give up. Because that's exactly when you stop and think about it, what the enemy wants. He wants us to give up. He wants us to stop being faithful to God's house. He wants us to not guard our testimony. He doesn't want us to be a soul winner. He doesn't want to live for Christ. He wants us to give up. That's exactly what the enemy wants. Now, I've already been sharing a few stories already about my time at Pensacola and with a few, I think, Brother Glenn and Cindy today, we talked about when I was at Pensacola, my sophomore and junior year was the worst two-year span for hurricanes in Pensacola's history. They had a hurricane, I believe it was Dennis, Charles, Ivan, and Katrina. Right away, everybody probably knows Katrina, right? Well, Ivan actually hit Pensacola as a Category 5 hurricane, and it was really almost as big as Katrina. I get the publicity that Katrina did because of the flooding and the devastation it did to Louisiana, but if you would have seen what it did to Pensacola, it devastated as a Category 5 hurricane. We had four hurricanes during my 2 years. I mentioned this morning I was a broke college student, right? So we either staying in a little ranch home, endure 200-mile winds, or we board up the house, we pack up the van, and we drive to Texas where my brother-in-law lived, which is what we did. Hurricane Ivan came through and absolutely just devastated Pensacola. I thought our house was going to be destroyed, but God protected it. There was trees down all around it, and we lost 3 shingles. But during that time, the hurricanes kept coming. I had to board up another time, pack up, back to Texas again. This
time, I think it was Dennis and came with the Cat 5, and then they got to landfall. Somehow, somebody didn't mention it, it was a lot. And then my junior year, here comes Katrina. Once again, category 5, over on the 5, and 8.5 before landfall, and that's all. I'm like, no, I have a board. Well, I was this far from boarding it up again, and 6 hours later, I watched the whole web channel that used to be in at that time. Well, that's true. 6 hours later, it was moved further west than it was in Mississippi. And 6 hours later, it was going towards Louisiana, and it's all over the harbor. So I said, honey, we're riding this one out. So we still had to deal with Category 2. But all those different trials and tribulations.
All right, are we on?
Yes.
Are we on? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I really got tired of that commercial, didn't you? I'm so glad he went over to Sprint or whatever he did. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No, I can't. Go to Sprint. All right, where was I? So why is it so important that we don't quit, that we don't give up? I mean, outside of the enemy wanting to damage our testimony and get us to give up on the Lord and lose faith and not be faithful to God's house. Outside of that, why else is it important? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Excuse me. Well, we definitely can hear that. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is absolutely one of my favorite passages, and it really just challenges me every day in my life to not only glorify the Lord in my life, but realize that our testimony needs to be cherished. Like any treasure that we may have, our testimony needs to be treasured. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And that's a truth that I think many believers need to embrace when it comes to storms in our life, that we have to realize that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by people that are watching how we handle the storms of health in our life. Watching the storms of finances and how we handle those storms in our life. They're watching you. They're watching me. how we handle the storms of death of family and friends and loved ones. They're watching our lives. And I can tell you this specifically because of my wife and I, since we've started working over at Co-America while we're in this little limbo of where the Lord's going to direct us. We've been at Comerica Bank, and I can tell you right now, we are at, because they came in first day. I'm used to be a pastor. I'm a reverend. Whoa. And so right then we were tagged, and they started watching us. Pastor and pastor's wife. 9 months later, they referred to me as Pastor Rich, and one of the co-workers told my wife that she was a walking, living testimony. And I don't say that in any way to brag or boast or anything about ourselves. I say that because we realized going into Comerica Bank that we were going to be watched. And we realized that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we need to cherish our testimony like it's the most incredible, important treasure. Like it was billions of dollars. We needed to treasure our testimony because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's why we can't give up. But when it comes down to the storm, we have to take it for what it is. A test, a trial, or temptation. A test, or trial, or temptation. And I can tell you right now, Satan will try to use those past and present mistakes to try to cause doubt and uncertainty and try to convince us that the Lord has left us or has forsaken us. But you know what? My Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we just read this morning, God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So don't listen to those lies of the enemy when we go through storms. Now, I know people may ask you that maybe aren't believers, and they say, well, how can, if your God is so great, if your God is so loving, then how come we have storms? How come we have tragedy and disease and illness and murder? And the reality is, we live in a fallen world. That's the reality, and the truth is, storms just come. We live in a fallen world, and storms just come. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So the question we should be asking the Lord is, and Lord, why are you punishing me? We should be asking the Lord, what are you trying to do in me? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me through this trial? Now, the enemy's going to try to convince us the other. Oh, he's punishing you. Oh, remember what you did here and here and here. But that's not necessarily why we're going through the storm or the trial. We should be asking the Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, thou art the potter, and we are the clay. We are the father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hands. I love that verse because it creates a great picture. And if any of you have ever done pottery and you see what it's like when you have that lump mold of clay and you have to kind of put some water on it and you kind of get the little thing spinning and you start working into something. And then through time, as you beat it and work that clay with your hands and mold it, you know, the whole potential is to, or the mindset is to mold it into something beautiful, something useful. And I love that verse because, you know, God is our Father, and we are clay in His hands, and He is our potter, and He's trying to mold us and work us into something beautiful, something useful. As we talked about Joshua this morning, molding that obedient soldier into an obedient servant, an obedient leader. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives when we go through these storms, is He's trying to mold us into something beautiful and something useful. So first, never give up. Second, never stop claiming His promises. Never stop claiming His promises. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Sounds like most of you are there. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and that shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, when you look at that passage there, who's James writing to? He's writing to the 12 tribes, and what are they? They're scattered abroad. Why are they scattered abroad? Because they were going through persecution. They were going through suffering. They were going through storms. And he's letting them know, listen, storms are going to come. Trials and tribulations are going to come, and we need to have joy in those. And I tell you, that's one of those ones you kind of, oh man, how are we supposed to have joy in trials and tribulations? And it goes back to the last point I made, because God is trying to do something great in us. So that's why we're supposed to count it joy when we go through those, because God's trying to do something in our life. We got to look at the other side. We have to look at what God's trying to do and what he's trying to do in our life to do something great, to mold us into something great in our life. You know, God takes a fisherman and he makes a disciple. God takes a Saul and he makes an apostle Paul. God takes a sinner and he makes a preacher. You know, in those things that we're going through, God is trying to do something great in our lives. And so that's why I treasure that passage, because, yeah, it's hard to find joy in storms and trials and tribulations, but we should be counting it joy because God is trying to do something great in our lives. He's trying to develop something. Maybe it's develop our faith. What we should be asking ourselves is, how much are we seeking God when we're in the storm? You know, when the Lord allows these storms in our lives, what he doesn't want us to do is give up. What he does want us to do is seek him while we're in the storm. Another thing I want to read here real quick that I found, I thought was pretty interesting, especially talking about storms and hurricanes. A TV news camera crew was on an assignment in southern Florida, filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. The camera panned the area. Amid the devastation and debris, one lone house was still standing on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when the reporter approached him and said, "Sir, why is your house the only one still standing? How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" The man said, "I built the house myself. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for a 2-4-6 roof truss, I used a 2-by-6 roof trusses. I was told that the house was built according to code and would withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. It could be that no one else around here followed the code." This was a man who understood that storms were coming. It had nothing to do with him. It was about the area in which he lived and the nature of storms. His job was to be prepared, and when the sun was shining and the skies were blue, it may have seemed foolish to put extra expense and trouble into building a hurricane-proof house. But when the hurricane came, it was anything but foolish. It was quintessential wisdom. And the important thing is not trying to understand all the various reasons why the storms come, but to be prepared for them for when they do. Second, we see the storms will go. Remember the presence of the Lord. Going back to our text. Remember the presence of the Lord. Verses 38 and 39. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The disciples were fearful. They were afraid. They were confused. They were frustrated because they thought the storm was never going to end. But guess what? Storms don't last forever, do they? 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation, also make a way to escape it, that ye may be able to bear it." Truth of the matter, storms don't stay. Eventually the storm leaves, the sun comes out because the Lord is faithful and he answers prayer. But interesting here, an interesting perspective here as we look at verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not we perish? When you look at the word master there in Greek, it's the word didaskalos, which means teacher, wise one, one who guides into knowledge. Now jump over to Luke chapter 8 as we look at his account, verses 22 through 24, because it's going to be interesting when we look at the Greek at how Luke reaches out to Jesus. You know, Mark, it's teacher, it's one who guides. And here in verse 22, Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says, But now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. The word for master in Luke's account is epistates, which means commander, one who controls. So when you look at Luke's account, I think it really kind of, whichever way you look at it, I think either way they went over to Jesus and they were urgent to get him up, to wake him up, to get him to kind of help in their situation. They went closer to Jesus. And that's exactly where the Lord wants us when storms come. He wants us drawing closer to him. Now, you may know people that have gone through storms in their lives, believers, and because of that storm, they've maybe drifted further away from the Lord. Further away from being faithful to God's house. Further away from spending time in God's Word. But as we see here from these men, they got closer to Jesus. I can see all of them hovering around him saying, wake up, wake up. We need you. The Lord wants us drawing closer to him, not further away. But then also, we need to strengthen our faith for when the storm does come. This is where it kind of gets a little interesting here. So if you're half asleep, you can wake up now. Are we drawn closer to the Lord between the storms? Because we might not be going through a storm right now. A little hot outside, but, you know, it's not a thunderstorm. So we might not be going through storms. So those times that we're in between the storms, are we drawn closer to Jesus? Are we working on increasing our faith in between the storms? Because I think if we wait like the disciples, we're going to find ourselves failing and falling when we're in the storm. And I believe that's why Jesus, going back to our text, addressed them in this manner in verse 40. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? That's kind of interesting when you think about Jesus asking them. And I think the reason why he's asking them is this. Where's your faith? You've been around me all this time. You've seen me perform miracles. You've heard my teachings. You've seen me raised from the dead. You've seen me do all these wonders. Where has your faith been developing in between the storms? You've been with me all along. And I think that's why he's questioning him and so puzzled. Why are you fearful? Why do you have so faith, little faith? You've been with me all along. You should have been developing this faith in between the storms. And now we're in the storm. Why is your faith so small? Yes, we are to cling to Jesus when the storm comes. But we're also to cling to Jesus in between the storms. We should be trying to increase our faith, increase our meditation and study of the Word of God, increase our faithfulness. All those things we should be developing in between the storms, because if we get like the disciples and we think when the storm comes, I'm all of a sudden going to be a faith giant, we're going to find ourselves like the disciples. Saying, oh, Lord, we're going to perish. Oh, no, Lord, I'm going through this trial and tribulation. I don't know what to do. Instead of being at the place where when the storm comes, we've developed that faith and that trust in God and that relationship with him and knowing that he's with us in the storm. And when the storm comes, we can say, Lord, what are you trying to show me through the storm? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to mold me into while I'm going through this storm? We should be developing during the storm, but also we should be developing in between the storms. And third, we see that storms are always in Jesus' control. So remember the power of the Lord. Remember the power of the Lord. Going back to our text as I finish up here. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's when our faith is increased, when we realize that God is in control. When we trust in a sovereign God and realize that whatever we're going through, God has allowed it for a reason, to do something in our lives, to mold us. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God may be trying to develop our faith while we're in that storm. He may be trying to show us or do something in our lives or purge something from our lives in that storm so that we can be useful and better in serving Him. We have to remember that Jesus is in the storm with us. We need to look to Jesus when the storms come, but then remember that He controls how long the storm stays. Imagine the disciples, as I finish up here, imagine their awe, imagine their amazement. They'd witness all these miracles Jesus had done in front of them, healed the sick and watched demons be removed and all these amazing things they'd witnessed. But could you imagine watching Jesus control the weather? And I believe that leads to verse 41 when they say, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They experienced him control the weather. You know, there might not be a storm going on. It could be a beautiful day. Everything can be going well in our lives. And we have to realize that a storm's coming. If you're not in a storm, one will come. Storms just come. So praise the Lord if you're not in a storm right now. If you're not in a storm right now, then now's a good time to be saying, okay, Lord, I need you to start developing my faith. I'm not saying asking for a trial, pray for patience. We should be trying to develop our faith in the Lord, spending more time in His Word, being faithful to God's house, being faithful to serving, all these different things because, yes, the Lord longs to give us victory and answer prayer, but those are times that we need to be trusting God every little moment of our life. Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is just as much in control of storms today as He was in the disciples' lives. And we have to believe that and trust that in our lives as well. We can look at it and go, well, that was disciples. And, you know, He wants to control the storms in our lives. He wants to help develop our faith in our lives. He wants to draw us closer to Him in our lives as well. You think about the accounts in God's Word. I mean, when you look about faith, faith is kind of a step-by-step process. I don't think anybody just all of a sudden is a faith giant. It's really a step-by-step process, and there's several ways we can develop our faith. We just read one. All these accounts in the Word of God, we can draw from these. Again, we talked about it. It's His story. This is His story. These are all areas where God worked in people's lives, and we can utilize the Word of God and the truths in the Word of God to develop faith in our life, also in the lives of others. Talked about, I think this morning, a little bit about how we used to have our testimony time, and when you see God work in the lives of others and give them victory and answered prayers, Pastor Dave talked about, those are all areas that we should be gleaning to increase faith in our life. Another thing that I've also encouraged always is keeping a prayer journal. If you're one that wants to increase your faith and start that step-by-step process, start writing a prayer journal out. Get a prayer journal. Write the date of the prayer and then when it was answered and how it was answered and the date. And then when you go through storms in your life and you're kind of struggling with your faith, go back to your prayer journal and see where God did this and God did this and in this life and in this life and in my life. And those are areas, yeah, Lord, I trust you. I trust in your sovereignty. I trust that you're in the boat with me and you're going to take care of me. As I finish up here, I want to finish as we visit with Steve. Since we last saw Steve, everything was changed and he found a new job. He has rediscovered his relationship with Jesus Steve summed everything up in this way. When everything was going great, I thought I could do it all on my own. I thought Jesus was only there to help me in times of trouble. However, when the storms hit my life, I began to read the Bible and found out that Jesus always remains. He is there in the good times as well as the bad, and all I had to do is remember to put my faith in Him. Steve's on track now, and when the storms come, he must remember to put his faith, and we need to remember to put our faith in Jesus. Let's pray.